volunteer work is great when people are going to appreciate you and you may get your picture in the newspaper and you get your name on somebody's list. But how about the kind that nobody's going to give you any medals for?
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today on the subject of growing in grace. Now, we've talked about ways in which we can grow in grace, grow to spiritual maturity, and we don't want our spiritual growth to be stunted, do we? So the first thing that we must aim at and get this settled once and for all is that we are seeking God's glory, not ours. We next need to feed on the Word. There can be no growth without proper nourishment. It's one thing to go to church and listen to Christian radio and read books, but we need to get back to the source himself, to the living Word. And God speaks to us through his Word, the Bible, which is inspired. So we need to learn to hold the spoon and feed ourselves. And now we need to learn to aim at holiness. The third thing is aiming at holiness. And the fourth, serve somebody. In Mark 10, 43 to 45, we read, "When the ten had heard about this, they became indignant with James and John." James and John had been arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus called them together, and he said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And here we have the great keystone of the spiritual life. We are servants. We are meant to be servants of all. And Jesus set the example for us in his life on earth. He was the servant of all. He was available. He was approachable. He was humble enough to do the dirtiest work. He got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. You can try volunteer work that doesn't have any visibility or appreciation attached to it and see how much you enjoy that. Volunteer work is great when people are going to appreciate you and you may get your picture in the newspaper and you get your name on somebody's list. But how about the kind that nobody's going to give you any medals for? Nobody is going to write you up in the newspaper. We might make some amazing strides in grace if we would serve in that way. How about money? We can serve through money. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth about money, and he gives some important spiritual principles. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service, there's that word, service that you perform, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A lady told me a most amazing story. She and some other people had gone into a fast food place, and she had a $5 bill in her hand. She looked at this $5 bill, and she thought to herself, I wonder what the Lord wants me to do with this. And she felt that the Lord was saying he wanted her to give it to somebody in that restaurant. Well, she thought, that's pretty strange. I mean, how am I supposed to know who to give it to, and what if they're offended? As she was turning this matter over in her mind, in the door came a very poorly dressed man with two very poorly dressed little children. They took a seat, and she sat and looked at them and prayed for them and kept saying, Lord, is this the man you want me to give this money to? And she felt that the Lord was saying yes, but she said, Lord, I don't really know how to do this. I don't want to offend him. How can I get up and walk across the restaurant and give him a $5 bill? So then she prayed this. She said, Lord, if you will arrange some way that's not too obtrusive where this man and I come face to face when we get up to go out, I will give them the money. When they got up to go out, she found herself face to face with this man. He was on his way to the salad bar. She thrust the $5 bill in his hand and she said, Sir, Jesus told me to give this to you. And she tried to beat a retreat, but the man said, Wait. And he told her, I have no money at all, but the Lord told me to go into this restaurant and order some food for my children, and he would take care of the bill. Isn't that amazing? That's one of those unusual stories, the sort of thing that I don't think has ever happened to me, anything quite that miraculous, shall we say. But God can do that, and I believe that this woman had a spirit of servanthood. It's the spirit of servanthood that's deeper than the acts themselves. My husband Lars has the spirit of a servant. I think it's one of the first things that attracted me to him. He has the gift of helps. Who's the most indispensable person in any office, church, school, or home? It's the one who'll always do it. It's George. Let George do it. I heard a missionary tell me a story about wanting to serve her church, and when she went to the minister, she gave him a long list of her credentials. She had a number of degrees, and she'd had a great deal of missionary experience, and she wanted to be useful in the church. And to her utter astoundment, is that a word? I'm not sure. Astonishment, shall we say. The pastor said, well, you know what we really need is somebody to bake communion bread or take care of the nursery. This missionary was offended. She felt that those jobs were beneath her qualifications. She asked me what I thought she should do, and on the basis of the scripture, I told her that I felt the best thing that she could do for that church would be just what the pastor asked her to do. And if she was willing to humble herself and forget about the degrees and the experience and bake the bread or take care of the nursery, God could exalt her in his own time if he wanted to. The Bible says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You and I can grow in grace by laying down our ambitious schemes for serving God. Often his scheme of service is very different from mine. Remember that the martyr, Stephen, served tables before he became a great preacher. Evelyn Underhill tells a story in one of her books about a famous anchoress, a woman who lived in a little cell in a church where she was, it's really the same as being a hermit. And she was known as such a holy woman that people came from all over the country to the slit in her cell through which they were able to talk with her and ask for prayer and advice. But then the highway was changed, so the traffic did not go by her little cell. And she then became the friend of little children, the lady with the pot of glue. And from being a great spiritual counselor, she became the lady who mended toys. Does that story tell you something about true holiness? The disciples might have expected to be asked to do something heroic, but Jesus was showing them he wanted them to be willing to wash the feet of those under them. It's a great test of spiritual reality and a step toward spiritual maturity. How low can you bow without making a big deal out of it? Greatness is not how many people you can get to serve you, but have you in your heart of hearts a servant spirit. May God help us to grow in grace, to be willing to do whatever needs to be done for Jesus' sake.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.